write the song, and that I pity the country.
Yeah, it was something.
Okay. And
it's a different word. I was looking for I pity the fool.
Oh, that would be okay. Well, we're not going to say who that is, okay?
Something else entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Douglas.
Yes.
It's 7 o'clock.
Oh.
Already. Mm-hmm. And you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. That's it. That's all I have.
And this is Aboriginal Voices here at CFRC.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah. And if you're traveling on the highway tonight, clear sailing. It's going to be cold, but clear sailing. Now, I didn't realize there were so many versions of I Pity the Country.
Yeah, here's the one that you're thinking of.
That's it.
This one here is by Door Number 3 Productions.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one. You want to hear?
I'd like to hear the one from Leanne Simpson.
Really?
Just to,
already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to compare it to Willie Nelson. Yeah. You're all set. Go ahead.
It thrives on hate. Churchmen, the saving of soul men, tinkering. I think there's only a few Indians left. There's millions of them in the whole continent of America, which includes South America. And one day they're going to be asking for their rights. I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't standing next to the black people, too. So it's either give now or die later.
Time for you to lock in. Freedom's why we rockin'. Walking that we blockin'. Enough with all the talking. Time for you to hop in. Got the people watching. Stopping and we stomping with knowledge that we dropping. Dismantle institutions. Mishandle distribution. Systemic contributions to those in prosecutions. Media illusions. Weakening solutions. They carry racial bias just like the Constitution. This evil ain't a friend of me. I'll break who you send to me. Working with the government. You're working with the enemy. The eagle gives me energy to wake up my integrity. Abolish any governance while breaking their supremacy. Forget about the laws when you're standing for the cause. We're fighting for our lives and the ones that we have lost. This is for my chalk, written on sidewalks. Listen to my talk, this is for my part. We're gonna stand, we're gonna fight. The retribution's in our minds. We're gonna stand, we're gonna fight. The revolution's on the rise. We're gonna stand, we're gonna fight. The retribution's in our minds. We're gonna stand, we're gonna fight. The revolution's on the rise.
Does my presence make them tremble? Why they keep on staring? Don't care about discomfort, the Kens and the Karens. Think of where they settled, think about their parents. Complicit in behaviors with the privilege they inherit. Need to break the cycle, need to take a stand. Need to check your friends, start to look within. Need to be the idol, be the helping hand. Need you to defend the people being hit. Walking down the city block, assaulted by the city cops. See them acting gritty, watch, never trust the city's ops. Plenty time to rethink, defund the precinct. Every time that we blink, we run to be brick. The empty apologies, lack of restitution. Listen to our prophecies, it's our resolution. Forget the petty policies, break the persecution. Positioning our sovereignty, time for revolution.
That's it, Sean. How'd you like that one?
That was, that one was okay.
Cody Coyote, Revolution.
Oh, yeah, Cody Coyote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good. I like that. Where are we going with this? Oh, right. You know, it's interesting because the weather's perfect. Cold, snowy. Oh, my goodness. Lots of snow. Have you been able to go out snowshoeing? You mentioned
no.
What happened to it?
There was no snow.
Oh, that's not good.
It was like set up for what, January?
Right.
Early January, late December, and we had no snow. Now that we have snow.
Nobody showed up.
No, well, I don't know. Somebody might have showed up. We did not show up because we were unable to.
Mm-hmm.
So... We didn't get to participate. Hopefully there was some participation.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's...
I don't know. I went there, Doug.
No, but if you go out snowshoeing, you know, there's different levels of snowshoeing. Some do snow racing.
Oh,
some
gosh,
just putter
no.
along.
No, no, Douglas. Meandering.
Meandering. Okay, that's
snow
good.
Snow meandering.
Do you like to go in really...
I wouldn't. Why would you want to run?
Oh, to get from here to there in a hurry.
No.
Yeah. No, but if you go out in the woods, that's nice. Get out on a lake and you just walk along and it's all flat. Well, sort of flat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You go up and over little ridges here and there, but nothing too bad. But it makes it easier to do, right? And so I was just wondering if that's the kind of thing you like to do, go out and try a little bit of snowshoeing. With other people, and then come.
Yeah, well, sure. I would
come back. When you go, do you have a fire pit where you can make tea?
No.
No.
Why would I do that? Go inside. Take off your snowshoes, go on indoors.
That's funny. When you take off your snowshoes, do you stick them tail into the snow?
I just go inside. I just go inside.
Oh, you just leave them on the ground and leave it there?
Oh. Nah, somebody will pick them up.
Somebody will take it and use it, right?
Honestly, though, Douglas, yes. Every time that we have gone out to snowshoe, there has not been any snow. So we just don't bother.
Mm. That's not fun.
I'm not in charge of the weather. I'm not in charge of the snow. You can't place that upon me, Doug.
No?
No. And I don't think I want to drive anywhere where I got to go to drive to go to the snow. It's the same as those people that drive their boats around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have a boat, so I have to drive my boat to where I can put the boat in the water to use.
That's funny.
Just not interested.
Hmm.
Like, you know, there are people out there that do like doing that. By all means.
Go for it.
Go for it. Me, not so much.
I really like to snowshoe when it's snowing in a forest.
Okay.
That is just so relaxing.
I'm sure it
How's
is.
How's that sound? No, we'd gone up to Georgian Bay area, and we were at the Awenda Provincial Park.
Awenda?
Awenda, yeah. And it's right on the Georgian Bay. It's on a peninsula near in Tiny Township.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so beautiful when you get into the woods.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, the day we went in, we did snowshoeing, and we thought, oh, well, you know, we'll, the trails are marked, but some of the trails had been used by skidooers. So for me, that's nice because then it makes snowshoeing really easy. It's all flat. And, uh-huh. But it's not as much fun as breaking trail, you know, getting the snow and feeling it. And,
oh. You know,
and anyway, just 1 sec.
Feel better?
Yeah. I was just thinking about the being in the snow, and it brings tears to my eyes.
Okay. Sorry, Douglas.
Not the big wet snowflakes like you guys had yesterday.
Yeah, we had lots of that. You didn't get any of that?
No, well, we got some
Where
snow.
You were?
Yeah. Driveway had about this much snow on it. And I would say for the last two snowfalls, we probably had over 24 centimeters of snow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty good.
Nice.
And not to mention in some areas, like there, we got a little bit of a ridge coming off the road up in the laneway. And down around there, the snow drifts in. So it gets deep.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Anyway, we get out snowshoeing. I love just kind of breaking trail, but it's a little more work. As long as it's not uphill all the time. But, you know, it's funny because I've taken kids of all ages from 5 years of age on up and out in the snow and teach them to snowshoe. And you know what the first thing they do when they get the idea that if you walk with your knees first, your knees point to where you're going to go, the snowshoe comes up and it trails along behind you and then you can step into it. And once they gathered that this is easy and they can go out and try it, every child has done it. They've gone up and run.
They,
whether it's across a field or through around the trees, they just want to run. Yeah. So that's why I asked you that question.
Me not so much.
Yeah. You're a big kid, though.
Me?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. But everybody loved the snacks.
Thanks for pointing that out, Doug.
You're welcome. but all the kids, all the participants of our snowshoe.
A bit of a tear to my eye now, Doug.
Love the snacks.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, we get a fire going and we'll make tea or we'll make hot chocolate. And I purposely don't make s'mores. Right?
No.
That's calling for a disaster.
I've
hot marshmallow going into a person's mouth.
Yeah, over here likes that sort of thing.
Yeah. It's fine.
And it's messy.
That too, yes. Chocolate everywhere. It's not the chocolate that's the problem. It's that marshmallow stuff.
Yeah. Gets hot and burns.
You know, I've got another song if you want.
All right.
Because this is Chigano is the artist, and his song is Buffalo, or Buffalo. His album is Buffalo. But I picked the song called Forest just for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, since we're talking about going out in the forest all the time.
Yeah.
And see what happens. In the spring.
In the spring?
Yeah. I want to hear about the forest as you go hiking on trails.
In the spring?
In the spring.
Nah, it'll be muddy.
After the snow's gone.
It'll be muddy, Doug. I'll tell you about it in the fall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Won't be good in the fall because all the leaves will be off the trees.
No, that's the best time. Oh. They're like got all colors and stuff. It's nice.
Okay. Are we going to go to the Chicano?
Sure.
Okay.
You kept talking to me.
Forest, here we go.
Thank you. Love podcasts? Want to try your hand at podcasting? Why not make your mark and join CFRC's podcast network? Visit podcast.cfrc.ca. Check out the great podcasts already produced right here at CFRC and find out how you too can have your very own podcast.
February 13th is World Radio Day, where millions around the globe celebrate the medium which touches so many lives. All across this country, Canadians are celebrating too, including Farm Radio International and the National Campus and Community Radio Association, with a live broadcast through CKCU-FM from Ottawa. Learn more and participate in World Radio Day at worldradioday.ncra.ca on February 13th and catch the live stream.
With Open Mouths, the podcast is hosted by Carnita Lilla, Associate Curator, Art of Africa at Agnes Etherington Art Center. She sits down with artists, musicians, curators, and spoken word poets to discuss the expressions of their practice. She finds out how they found their artistic voice, which life events shaped them, and who their inspirations are. Find new episodes on Digital Agnes, CFRC's website, and on your favorite podcasting platform. Subscribe now and join us for moving and inspiring conversations.
that is Morgan Toney with a brand new song called Golden Regalia.
Oh, yeah.
Golden Regalia, and I think, that was lovely. That had me up and dancing. What about you,
Sean? It did. Well, not me.
Your fingers were dancing.
Well, sort of.
Yeah, across the keyboard.
I was tapping a toe. Only one, though.
Good one.
So that was Morgan Toney, and it seems he's a Mi'kmaq folk singer, songwriter, and fiddler from Nova Scotia, whose music blends Celtic folk with traditional Mi'kmaq music, and he's a member of the Wagamakuk First Nation.
Ooh. Now, that, I don't know where he is from.
Wagamakuk.
Yeah, but that would be British Columbia or New Brunswick, right?
I don't know. Sure.
Okay. I'll look it up later.
Anyways, Toney began his career as a drummer, but began learning the fiddle in the late 2010s. Then he met singer Keith Mullins, and with whom he planned to record an album, but found their plans halted by that COVID-19, that pandemic. Seems that he's also made his debut at the virtual edition of the Celtic Colors Festival in 2020, sharing the stage with Ashley MacIsaac.
Oh, okay. So he's really up there if he's playing.
Well, if he's up there, if he's playing with Ashley MacIsaac, yeah. he's up there, I guess. Toby and Mullins then launched the GoFundMe page to assist in the recording of Tony's debut album, First Flight. That must have been it. Was that it?
No. This is actually just come out. It was
just come out. Sent to us here. It's not in his thing.
They haven't got it updated. That's your whatever you're using there.
Okay, but so
this is just in and along with the next song.
This is Wikipedia.
Oh, okay.
He received a Canadian Folk Music Award for Indigenous Songwriter of the Year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
17th Canadian Folk Music Awards in 2022. And the First Flight was reissued in March of 2022 by Ishko Day Records. And that's a record label owned and operated by Amanda Rayum, and Shoshona Kish.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Good. All right. I've got another new song by Morgan Toney. Would you like to hear it now?
Yes.
Or is there more you wanted to share?
No, there is nothing more.
Oh, okay. Well, here you go. Second new music.
Open for everyone, shall I see? Biscuit, welcome. Come on in. Yeah. Mother's gifts, he said, son, changed their minds one by one. Let it go, the damage is done, shall I see? Biscuit, welcome. Come on in. Yeah. We come a long way, got a ways to go. Wasn't that far 50 years ago? Time will heal all the wounds after a storm, the flowers bloom. Welcome, come on in. We come a long way, got a ways to go. It wasn't that far 50 years ago. The time is now, together we stand, make our way to the promised land.
wasn't that far 50 years ago. The time is now, together we stand and make our way to the promised land.
Change crisis. There is hope. An ecological wonder, helping to regulate the Earth's water cycle and prevent soil erosion. Grasslands. By conserving grasslands, Canada draws on the power of nature to tackle climate change and reduce biodiversity loss. Discover more nature-based climate solutions and see nature as something new. A message from the Government of Canada.
With Open Mouths, the podcast is hosted by Carnita Lilla, Associate Curator, Art of Africa at Agnes Etherington Art Center. She sits down with artists, musicians, curators, and spoken word poets to discuss the expressions of their practice. She finds out how they found their artistic voice, which life events shaped them, and who their inspirations are. Find new episodes on Digital Agnes, CFRC's website, and on your favorite podcasting platform. Subscribe now and join us for moving and inspiring conversations.
Things that I love about spending time in the woods is that when you start to become really attuned to all the beings that are around you, you realize that they're here for a reason. You can look at the woods and start to see stories that are present in the woods.
Shabadaskegish kokoine deshnakas, budwe wat mi koyenda, megazedo dem, minwa makoto dem. In our beautiful Potawatomi language, I've introduced myself. I am Robin Wall Kimmerer, Anishinaabe woman, member of the Bear Clan and of the Eagles, and member of the Citizen Potawatomi Nation. I am a professor of environmental biology at the SUNY College of Environmental Science and Forestry here in Syracuse, New York. I'm a botanist, a plant ecologist, and also the director of the Center for Native Peoples and the Environment. I chose for us to meet here at the Clark Reservation State Park in Jamesville, New York, because at this time of year when snow has just begun to melt and spring is thinking about arriving, this is one of the best places to see those first signs of spring. You know, right here it comes to mind, we're walking on this path and this little evergreen vine here, you think, oh well, yeah, that's nice and green on the ground, but in fact this is telling us a story. This, and you can see the way it's just one patch of this tells us that this was an old home site. This is a little periwinkle vine. It's a exotic species, doesn't really belong in the woods, and yet
it's part of the story of the place, because it's telling us that there were people here before who valued this plant, and they put it here, and it has survived. The park was made here because it's spectacular geological formation. This is beautiful limestone ledges and sculpted pavements of limestone where the glacier passed over here and created a huge waterfall, which created the lake, scoured out the limestone, and there's so many plants that love to live on that damp limestone. So it's a favorite place of mine to come and teach and come in and watch the unfolding of the season. You look around you and it's not just an assemblage of trees and green things, but it's a whole story. You know, as I'm walking around here, I do love to pay attention to the little things, but this time of year, when there aren't any leaves out and the flowers aren't up yet, you get to really see all of the textures and colors of the place. You know, back here is another tree that's telling a story. Look at this. This is a shagbark hickory right here with those great big platy bark on it. And, you know, when you see that, you know something about the history of this place. Its nuts, which are delicious, only grows in bright sun, in open places. So this tells you that this is not an old forest. This is a young forest coming back from some kind of disturbance. It also tells you when you see shagbark hickories, this is the place to be in the fall. Delicious food from the hickory nuts, a really important traditional food of indigenous peoples in this habitat. This piece of land is part of the ancestral and the contemporary territories of the Onondaga Nation, the central fire of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. And this state park is a favorite of residents of Syracuse. There are miles of hiking trails, and it's great birding and botanizing. So it's a place which is well-loved by residents of the region. One of the reasons I love to bring my students here is these beautiful mossy ledges that all of this limestone was scraped bare by the glacier. And without any soil on it, for the most part, the rooted plants can't grow. And then it makes these gorgeous habitats for all of the mosses. And you might at first just look around you and say, okay, there's a green carpet on the rocks. But when your eye starts to become tuned and you use all of your senses, you realize that there's no such thing as just moss. It's mosses. There's all these different kinds. And I mean, just look in here. And the thousand shades of green, there's the bright lime green and the rusty orange green and the browny green and the bright grass green, the shiny ones, the dull ones. Every one of them is a different species. And it starts to just draw you in closer and closer to see how they live their lives. They're just amazing. I come to this place often, and particularly as a teaching landscape, because it's a place where the geology and the botany and the birds and the people all come together. And it's a place to be able to teach natural history, ecology, and cultural relationship as well. You know, for me, all of the plants are teachers. They have things that we could learn from them. And the mosses are the oldest plants on Earth. And if you look at the fossils of mosses, and you look at contemporary mosses, they haven't changed very much. So what we're talking about here is that the oldest plants on the planet are right here. And that means that these plants that have existed since plants even came onto the land have endured every climate change that has ever happened on Earth. They have endured when most organisms have gone extinct. The mosses have endured. So you have to look at these and say, well, how did you do it? What lessons do you have for us mosses about how we could live? How do we adapt, and how are we resilient in the face of the changes that are upon us? One of the answers that the mosses have for you is simplicity. They ask very little of their environment, and they give a lot back. It may just look like a green blanket, but they're harboring so much biodiversity. They're called the coral reef of the forest for all the little critters that live in these tiny little moss forests. They make soil, they purify water, they create habitats for others. They give a lot and don't take much. They live simply. They don't change the environment. They live within the environment. And so then we ask ourselves, well, how did they persist through every climate change that has ever been on the planet? Well, that's how, being small, adaptable, and not changing the environment, but adapting to the environment. A place like this is an opportunity to really listen to the land and really slow down and watch and engage with the life unfolding around you. And that practice, that muscle, if you will, of paying attention to the land and learning from the land is something that we have started to lose because of all the time we spend on digital media, all the time we spend inside. I fear that we're forgetting how to really engage with the land, to listen and to learn from the land as our teacher. But the good thing about that is that all you have to do is be in the presence of that teacher. All you have to do is be outside and pay attention and open all of your senses to the world around you. And those skills and abilities are latent. They're waiting to be woken up. So all it takes is the time and that beautiful gift of human attention. Oh, look, here's these nice ribbon leaf sedges. They're evergreen under the snow. But, oh, look, there's the new growth of these ribbon leaf sedges coming. They're some of the earliest to come up. Oh, and you can just feel how warm those leaves are. Even though there was snow here just a couple of days ago, that southern exposure and the sun is warming things right up. This beautiful tree really calls to me because in our language, this is a basswood, also known as the American linden. And the basswood in our language we call wingo, which is the string tree. And in the underneath the bark, there are these sheets of fibers that our people routinely would harvest to use as cordage, as rope and twine for tying everything together, for weaving into fabrics and bags and containers. So it's a tree that you really like to see in the forest. You might just walk by it and say, well, you know, it's just a big old gray tree, but in fact, it bears these amazing gifts. In fact, I like this tree so much. It has these beautiful, fragrant flowers in the springtime. It's such a generous and beautiful tree that I named my daughter after this tree. Her name is Lyndon. So I didn't name her basswood. That wouldn't be a very pretty name. But as a professor, I try to get my students out onto the land just as often as I can. Sometimes we're indoors. We're learning online, of course, this year, and learning from books. That's all good. But there is absolutely no replacement for learning from the land herself. You learn, you know, to exercise all of your faculties, not just the intellect, right? Not just your mental powers of learning how the world is, but to feel how the world is, to sense it, to develop a relationship with the living world. We know that we learn so much better when we're engaging our memories, when we're engaging story, when we're engaging our aesthetic senses. And I'm sorry, but that just doesn't happen so much in a textbook. And so to me, the place to learn to be a biologist, to learn to be a naturalist is on the land. And once you come to know the different beings that are around you, you see not only stories, but the way that the land cares for you. Just standing in this place, I see the food of the hickory, the food of the maples, the string of the basswood, and I see medicine. Right here in front of us, that black flaky bark is a black cherry. And did you ever wonder why cough drops almost always come in black cherry flavor? It's because black cherry is a cough medicine. And the bark of the twigs of that tree boiled down make a really good soothing cough medicine. And so, yes, you look at the world as full of biodiversity and these amazing beings living their lives, but they also are in relationship with us. And you see, the cedars, really good respiratory medicine. We'll get close to one later. We came by a hemlock, which is super good for colds. It has tons of vitamin C in it. So they're medicines. They're medicines all around us to be honored, to be respected. And in fact, in our Potawatomi language, the word for plants is mishkakin, which means the medicines, but it also means, if you take that word mishkakin apart, it means the strength of the earth. And so when we talk about plants healing us, they're healing us with the strength of the earth. And to feel that and to feel all those gifts that are all around you makes the woods into a very different place. The Potawatomi language, which is the language of my ancestors and which I am a beginning student, is full of sounds that to me sound like the land. There's lots of double consonants, zhuzh and shushes, that sound just like the wind that's surrounding us. There are sounds that are like waves on rocks. And so it's a language that to me sounds like the sounds of the natural world. And our language, we say, is sacred to the people, because it was a gift to us. You know, when we talk about the stories that the land holds, we had a recent story. There was a homestead here. We have an ancient story right here, where the snow is lying there later than any place else, in this cold, wet little drainage. Look at the cliffs up above it. This is an old plunge pool from a great river. Up here on this cliff, the river that was draining glacial Lake Iroquois came tumbling over these cliffs, and this little basin is where the power of the water carved out this little basin. And today it's filled with water only in the springtime, and a great place for frogs and salamanders and spring peepers living in the remnants of that ancient glacial river. One of the greatest sources of biodiversity in woods like this are, of course, the fungi, who are busy decomposing all the leaves and the wood. And on this old tree base here is one that I think is very common but really beautiful. It's called the turkey tail fungus, for the way it comes in these little banded colored fans, like an expanded turkey tail. These are wood destroyers. They're busy bringing this back down to humus. And down here, you can see up here, they're, you know, gray and rusty. And down here where they're green, these are algae that are living on top of them. So everything has its own niche, including living on others. And, you know, while this fungus, the turkey tail, is doing its work in the forest, it's also a medicine. It's a traditional medicine that is used for the immune system, for fighting off infections. That's a great one. Let's see what else we can find here. My friends and family tease me about these stories because, you know, you might previously just walk through the woods thinking, I'm just going for a hike, and I'm going to move right along. They say, Robin, when we hike with you, we don't ever get very far because you always have to stop and look at everything and say, why are you here? But it is, for me, makes it a really rich experience. This past couple of days, we've had warm winds from the south, and so the beginning of the songbird migration is upon us. Just yesterday, there were killdeer in the sky, and the mourning doves began singing, the robins began singing. So, this is a really special time of year to see all of those who have left us for the winter starting to come back. Whoa, look at this. This old maple has been worked by a pileated woodpecker. When you see those long oblong shapes, that tells you it's a pileated woodpecker with that really big, strong jackhammer of a beak that's been working that tree trunk to get bugs and grubs out. And whoa, it has been so busy. Look at all these shards down here. The whole base of the tree covered with these chunks that have been knocked out by the woodpecker. That's a good source of winter food, right? The bugs that are under the bark. Oh yeah, you can see where all the little insect holes here are too. There's some good food in there if you're a woodpecker. One of the consequences of spending time on the land and paying attention to birds and trees and berries and roots and grasses and bugs and all of the things that are around you, you start to think about the world as full of persons, of more than human persons, and that they're bringing us these gifts of the joy of watching them, the foods that they provide for us, everything that they have to teach us. In our traditional culture, we say that the chickadees are always talking to the people. They're very social birds. They come around people. They really like to be in multi-species flocks. They go about the woods with other species in this sort of convivial little gatherings. And we're told that we should always pay attention when the chickadees speak to us. And there are a lot of old stories about the chickadees talking about changes in the weather, warning people about things that are on the wind, as it were. And you know that those old stories that say that we could learn from the birds and benefit from their counsel is something that gets dismissed as fairy tales or folklore. But when you really do start to listen and hear all the different voices, chickadees, for example, have something like 40 different calls. They're not just making noise, they're talking to each other, and why not talking to us as well? A lot of the old teachings and stories are being verified, if you will, by Western science today. Not that they had to be verified, they were true all on their own. I think that once we start to see the world as gifts from more than human relatives, then it brings us to gratitude for the gifts of the land. And my hope and challenge to all of us is that as we give gratitude to the land, could we also shape our lives so that we live in such a way that the land might be grateful for us?
Stats can be hard to understand, but this one isn't. Nearly 1 in 4 people can't afford food in Canada. What does food insecurity look like where you live? Look up your address at foodsecuritynow.ca. That's foodsecuritynow.ca. Join Community Food Centers Canada in making a difference today.
Tanya Dahas Gigon, Tanan Zewa Dahun Sadache, Ungahuan, and Hadiwanodas, and the Aboriginal voices, on